this, that James is a fairly practical person when he comes to write his book. Very practical things. Not so much of the deep, complicated theological issues and things, but very, very straightforward day-to-day types of things. Very easy to understand. And James, in the book of James, he seems concerned that we walk our talk. And he's interested in that point where the rubber of our faith meets and actually makes contact with the road of daily actions. And so he says things like in chapter 1, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Look after orphans and widows. In chapter 2 he says, don't treat someone better because they are rich. And then he says, I will show you my faith by what I do. Very practical. And as we move along, one of the ways he wants us to walk our talk is to actually talk properly. Or maybe, in a lot of cases, not talk. In chapter 1, he says that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. And he says, keep a tight rein on your tongue. And then in chapter 3, he gets right into it and says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And it's so good and so straightforward that you could almost, and I feel like I could almost just read it and sit down, because it's that straightforward and easy to understand. But let's look at a couple things. And I'd like to say, what to do with that tongue? Number one would be to speak less. As James says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Less speaking, perhaps. And we've all heard the expression, better to say nothing and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And I don't know if any of you have happened upon that, the foot in mouth disease or whatever. Hung by the tongue, Francis Martin says, and he wrote a book by that name. There's a lot of good we can do just in human relations by maybe speaking a little less. Dale Carnegie wrote a great book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. You may have heard of it. It's a great old book, and it's just got a whole bunch of good practical things on relating with people. And he says, talks about being a good conversationalist just by listening well and not speaking so much. And he says, one of the great listeners of modern times was Sigmund Freud, although he may have had a few strange ideas. But apparently a man who met Freud described his manner of listening. It struck me so forcibly that I shall never forget him. He had qualities which I had never seen in any other man. Never had I seen such concentrated attention. There was none of that piercing, soul-penetrating gaze business. His eyes were mild and genial. His voice was low and kind. His gestures were few. But the attention he gave me, his appreciation of what I said, even when I said it badly, was extraordinary. You've no idea what it meant to be listened to like that. And Dale Carnegie goes on to say, if you want to know how to make people shun you and laugh at you behind your back and even despise you, here's the recipe. Never listen to anyone for long. Talk incessantly about yourself. If you have an idea while the other person is talking, don't wait for him or her to finish. Bust right in and interrupt in the middle of a sentence. So that's what Dale Carnegie says about being slow to speak and quick to listen. Another guy that I like to reference, Stephen Covey, who wrote the book The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of those 7 habits, he says, is seek first to understand, then to be understood. And he says, seek first to understand involves a very deep shift in paradigm. We typically seek first to be understood. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're either speaking or preparing to speak. They're filtering everything through their own paradigms, reading their autobiography into other people's lives. They're constantly projecting their own home movies onto other people's behaviors. They prescribe their own glasses for everyone with whom they interact. And he says, diagnose before you prescribe. The time you invest to deeply understand the people you love brings tremendous dividends in open communication. So seek first to understand, then to be understood. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. And yes, there are times when it's good to merely not say anything. And I know for myself, I don't know if I'm the most talkative person, but I can think of a number of times when I should have just maybe kept my mouth closed. I don't know if anyone else here has sort of had any of those moments, but yeah, lots of times. And even in a situation where it's a good situation, doing something worthwhile, like even a Bible study, I've had times when I've thought after, well, maybe I should have just not said anything there or said it in a different way. But yeah, lots of times just to not say anything, slow to speak. So what to do about that tongue? Number one, speak less. And number two, speak like a believer. And I think this comes in a few verses where it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. And so there's some inconsistency there. And so I don't think James wants people to be consistent by always cursing, but I think he wants people to be consistent by praising and blessing, right? And so out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, which isn't right. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Yeah. And so what's the source of what we have to say? And if we're believers, we should speak like a believer. And so our what comes out of our mouth should be consistent. It's good to love God, but it's also good to love our neighbor. And so that's about being consistent with speaking like a believer. And James talks about that quite a bit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, we've heard. And of course, we need to have our hearts renewed so that as our heart speaks through our mouth, then it's coming from a good source. Well, there's a number of ways we can speak like a believer. Number one would be to praise God. And James talks about that over in chapter 5, and that's going to be dealt with later. But he does say, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. And so we have all kinds of opportunity to come together and sing songs of praise, to praise God, to worship God. That's a good thing to be coming out of our mouth. And of course, there's an excellent opportunity for worship at 9:30 every Sunday, where it's actually dedicated to worship and praising God. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Another way to speak like a believer is to pray to God. And in that same verse it says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. And it says a little later on, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So that's another thing that should be coming out of our mouths. Another thing that we can speak that's worthwhile speaking is prayer to God. And it's been said by somebody, we should pray when we are in a good mood to pray, because it would be unwise to neglect that opportunity. And we should pray when we are not in the mood to pray, because it wouldn't be healthy to remain in that condition. So, a lot can be said about praying, but that's, as well as praising God, to pray to God is what should be coming out of our mouths. And when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, says James. So praise God, pray to God, bless your neighbor instead of cursing your neighbor. And Paul also has something to say about that. In Ephesians, he says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. So speaking to other believers in a way that will build them up, edifying, building up in their faith. Paul also says in Ephesians, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Once again, that building up idea. Building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Paul again in 1 Thessalonians says, encourage one another and build each other up. So that's things that can come out of our mouth. Praise God, pray to God, and bless your neighbor and build them up. So what to do with that tongue? Perhaps speak less, number one. And when you do speak, number two, speak like a believer. That pretty much takes care of, I think, what we have this morning. James tells us that if we're going to improve ourselves, aim at the tongue, because it's a big enough challenge for every one of us to deal with. It's easy to remember. It's not complicated, but it's just hard to do. And someone said, watch your tongue. It's in a wet place where it's easy to slip. So let's take that challenge and join me in seeking to do better that way, to honor Christ as we speak. And Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank James, who wrote this book, this letter, and the very straightforward things that are easy to understand. The challenge for us this morning to be careful what we say. And we ask that you would give us wisdom in that today and tomorrow and for many days as we go on, to be reminded that we are believers and that we should speak as believers. And we thank you for that challenge, and we ask for help from the Holy Spirit that we may be a source of life and encouragement for others from what we say. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe we can finish off if Christian and company are ready, willing, and able, just for that song one more time, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, if you guys are good for that, to finish our time together. Thanks.